It's time for peer pressure. My guest today is King Fowley of Deceased. We welcome him, and he's got some great stories to tell you. One having to do with Bob Barker and Voivod, of all things. He'll also discuss what he thinks the most important metal record is of all time and how he really feels about pop music. Thanks to Lita Martinez for editing the podcast and to Liz Berg for handling all the podcast duties. Stay tuned. King Fowley, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh,
hello,
my goodness.
Hello.
King Fowley from Deceased and October 31st. And what else do you have going on?
Who knows anymore? Well, you can go back to the old days of Doomstone if you want to bring that up.
Yeah,
that's
right,
up to
exactly.
You. That's supposed to be a secret, though. I guess I shouldn't have brought it up.
Oh, really? Why is it a secret?
Well, it's not really a secret anymore. When we first started that band, we just kind of did it for fun, and we made up these goofy names, Cross Turner, Upside Downer, and all that for fun, and nobody knew what it was, and then somebody figured it out, and then ever since then, it's not fun anymore. Because now everybody knows what it is. The game's over.
Oh, right.
And we
okay.
lost.
No. I don't think that you lost at all. Oh my goodness. What era is October 31st from?
Well, we started October 31st in 1995, and that one you played No Survivors was like 2000. That was like the last record we did. I think it was 2002. I think we did that record. And that's the last thing we've done. We're hoping to get back and do some new stuff soon. We have a title for a new album called Bury the Hatchet, but we have to go ahead and write the tunes and get it out. We have the artwork, the logo, and the tunes, the song titles, but no tunes. So
first things first.
Boy, yeah, exactly.
And then let's get the listeners up to speed with what's going on with Deceased. You got some shows. You got a new record.
I can't believe how much we got done in this year. We finally got the new record out, Surreal Overdose, which took 6 years to do. A lot of things went on in those years. One of the original guys, Mark Adams, stepped down from playing live anymore and retired. Mm. Mike Smith retired from playing live. He's just studio now. We picked up some new guys to help so we could keep the band going live. Les, our longtime bassist, Les Snyder, moved to Texas, got married. I moved to Philadelphia, got married. We have guys now living in New York City playing in the band. We had a guy playing from Boston. We have two guys living in D.C., Maryland. Me in Philadelphia, Les in Texas, and Mike in Virginia. So it's been crazy, but we got the record done and out. Did it on our own label called Streaks from the Hearse Records with help from a guy named Dan Paddock, Paddock Records, out of Massachusetts, who helped out also. And Hell's Headbangers just released the vinyl last week, which is available now, Splatter and Black Wax.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Dark Descent Records out of Colorado helped us put out a single for the record, Clone, with some B-sides, which has English Dogs and Cro-Mags covers on the B-side. That's out, too, and that's available through Dark Descent Records.
Nice.
So we're doing a lot of stuff there as far as live shows. Last year was the 25th anniversary, so we did about 70, 75 shows last year all across the United States. So this year it's a little bit slower. We could do them this year, this last half of the year. Basically, we call it the 13 Frightened Shows. and so far we've done, I think we're going up on 8 and 9 this weekend in New Jersey and New York. Well, New York on Friday at the St. Vitus Bar and Saturday at that Irish pub somewhere in Kearney, New Jersey.
Yeah, I believe it's the Irish American Club. It's on Kearney Avenue. We're looking for the exact address of the Irish
Club.
Yeah,
come on out for some four-leaf clover metal.
Right.
Irish pub. Exactly. I don't know what to expect there. Is there a lot of potatoes on the stage?
It's there don't have to be.
Maybe there'll be tomatoes by the end. Let's hope so.
But it's a good space. It's a mid-sized space. I've seen bands there before, and they do, there's like sort of punk flea markets. And
oh, that's
great. And yeah, they do a lot of sort of DIY
that's
shows there.
That's what I
there.
Like. That's the fun stuff. It's not one of those corporate, you know, groggy clubs.
No, not at all. And
it's not Jack.
Right. Oh, goodness, that place. Wow.
Right.
And the liquor is reasonable.
Liquor is reasonable. Yeah. Everybody listening, liquor is reasonable.
Right. Do you know who the openers are for either of those shows?
I know some of the bands at some of them. I think one Flesh Engine, I think, is playing New Jersey along with, I forgot, I think it's Grim Force, which is an old band from Jersey. I believe that's what their name is, Grim Force.
Okay.
I don't have it in front of me. And then Friday, I think it's bands Possessor and a few other bands are playing in New York. I really don't know the whole thing. It's kind of like a lot of locals and friends kind of setting up and doing their thing. We're just kind of going out for these shows and doing our own thing, too. It's like not any support or anything for some of the shows. Some old friends play. We just played last weekend in Michigan and Chicago with our buddy Super Christ and a band called Lurking Corpses, which was really cool.
Ooh, Lurking Corpses.
Yeah, they were good.
Just
check them out if
Halloween.
You have a chance. But other than that, just doing what we do, getting ready to start writing the next record, which we've already worked on. You know, we've already got a working title. It's the October 31 thing again. We got the working title and stuff. Now we're going to write the tunes.
Oh, great. Very
cool.
So
the next record's going to be called Ghostly White, and it's going to kind of go back to the supernatural addiction vibe with a lot of the haunted tales and things like that, because that's what I love to do. That's my favorite stuff to write.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and I was going to sort of ask you about that in terms of, I mean, you're always posting things on Facebook, like your favorite horror movies and all that, and Deceased has had a whole lot of, you know, gruesome lyrics and horror movie, like snippets in there over the years.
Right.
I mean, what are some of your favorite movies? And, of course, this is, you know, we're in October now.
Yeah, so. Halloween month, the greatest holiday of the year.
Yeah.
Some of my all-time favorites, Phantasm, of course, the original Exorcist always stands up to time. Some lesser known, but still kind of known. Burnt Offerings with Karen Black is one of my favorites from growing up in the 70s. The Changeling's fantastic. Let's Scare Jessica to Death is a favorite. The original Black Christmas from the 70s is one of my all-time favorites. There's a lot. Then you get to stuff where I'm talking to, you know, cult stuff like Till Death and Screams of a Winter Night and things like that are lesser known, but everybody should try to check those out. I like them all. I was talking to somebody the other day. I was like, you know, even the bad ones I could sit through once. I love the horror films.
Awesome. And I wanted to ask you, are you drumming in Deceased?
Just on the new record in the studio, not live, because of the health issues. Quickly on that, just something that ended up being a birth defect, something in my heart that they finally found out what it was. In 2002, had a blood clot in my lung, which came from my leg, which we thought at first was from playing over in Fock, and we came back, and my leg blew up, and I thought maybe it was sports-related because I was playing a lot of basketball at the time.
Wow.
But that ended up, I lost 18% of my right lung. I had pulmonary embolism, which is like a lung heart attack.
Wow.
Got on blood thinners for 6 months. They couldn't find any reason for it. Sometimes they look for cancers, things like that. They couldn't find anything wrong, so we thought it was definitely an airplane too long sitting on an airplane. Mm-hmm. Took me off of blood thinners. 2004, woke up one morning, had a stroke. My whole left side was affected. It was a lot of physical therapy to come back and stuff, and they still couldn't find out anything wrong, but the same doctor as 2002 actually told me that we should just keep you on blood thinners the rest of your life. And ever since then, I've been fine. And we do tests now and then. And last year, they took a test, and they do believe it's something. It's like something in one of my valves that just kind of makes your blood kind of pool there in your heart and kind of throws clots sometimes.
Wow.
So that's what kind of that was. But the damage to my left side, being left-handed and everything, it kind of affected me. I was kind of – it's kind of weird because I was actually stopped playing for a while drums before any of this health stuff happened because I was starting to sing for October 31 live, and I was loving it. I was like, why haven't I always been out front?
Right.
So it was weird because both bands, first time I ever played live for October 31 singing was at Wacken in 2000. And the first time I ever played for Deceased live singing without playing drums was 2001 at Wacken. So – It was odd.
Oh, how funny, yeah.
Yeah, it was very odd. So I loved it. And the last album, we had a guy named Dave Castillo. We call him Scarface. He played drums on the As the Weird Travel On record from 2005. And he did a great job. And I figured this time, well, if I'm going to go ahead and play the stuff instead of teaching our live drummer now, Eric Mays, I said, why don't I just go ahead and record the stuff? And then he can learn it properly from listening to the record instead of me having to, like, show him what I'm doing as we go and things like that.
Right.
So we did it, and I enjoyed it, but I definitely enjoy live just singing now. It's I wish I did it from day one. I really do.
You know, and it's just so funny because anybody who knows you or knows of you knows the kind of personality that you are. And it's like, you know, I mean, I don't miss you if you're at a show. You know, it's like, oh, King's here. Oh, like, it's, you know, you're such a natural as a front man.
Oh, thanks. It's just, you know, it's all about fun, and being in people's face is a lot better than getting my butt stuck to a seat, you know, on the drums. I always used to say, I wish I could move around. I'm having an anxiety back here, stuck here with this drum set, you know.
Well, that's literal butt stuck.
Exactly. Kind of for years. But it was fun. My back thanks me for stop playing drums live. That was a torture on my back, but I feel fantastic, and I'm so happy. The band's rolling in our 26th year now, and so happy with the response of the new record, Surreal Overdose, and just that we've been able to, you know, keep going through all the ups and downs that we've gone through. We've gone through a lot in the last 6 years, and that's why we want to get to the next record and get on it, because it's not so much to get something out there, because now there's no rush anymore. We're not on Relapse. We're not on anybody's rushing us at a different pace than what we are at. We can do it ourselves, but I miss it. The newest song on Surreal Overdose is 2009, and here we are almost to 2012.
Oh, wow, no kidding. Wow.
2 years and nothing new, so, you know, and we always like to write longer songs. That's part of our thing, so, you know, we're going to come up with 50, 55 minutes of new music for another record. It's going to take about a year to do it, so we're looking at all of next year writing it and in 2013 getting it out, which should be perfect.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a year, that's a number that we're all looking forward
to. Yes, indeed.
And, you know, I do have our listener, Tom, commented on the show on Saturday at the Irish club in Kearney is 95 Kearney Avenue in Kearney, New Jersey.
There it is. Well, thank you, Tom.
And on Friday, Deceased is playing with Possessor and some other bands at the St. Vitus Bar, which is 1120 Manhattan Avenue in Brooklyn. So we're going to go into some music because as much as we could chat all day just about, you know, stuff, I know that you have a window of time. And I want to introduce the first song, which is off of Surreal Overdose.
Absolutely. Kindred Assembly, it's a song about Alzheimer's disease. It's a horrible thing, and it's a creepy tune. It's a real creepy tune, Kindred Assembly.
All righty, so we're going to go to that. And my guest for today is King Fowley of Deceased. We'll come back to him in a little bit. Here's some Deceased.
Surround you, stop your living soul. While the blood of a no keeps falling.
And we are WFMU. My guest today is King Fowley.
Hello again.
Hello. And so let's talk about that Rock Goddess song.
My favorite all-female band ever.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. Those first, especially those first two records, that off the first one, and then that Hell Hath No Fury, which I always thought that band was going to break. They were so good. Jody Turner's voice was so just mesmerizing. You know, they were so young. I have pictures of them looking at when the drummer was 9 and stuff. It was so cool. I miss them. They actually tried to come back like a year ago and play with like the Headbangers Open Air or something, but it fell out again. I found Jody Turner on MySpace and talked to her once or twice, but I don't know. I guess she just gave up on it. So we talked about Benny Hill, and that was the end of that.
That's awesome.
But, you know, great British three-piece. I love them.
Oh,
Classic
yeah.
Heartache. What a song.
Oh, absolutely. And we love that heartbeat at the end.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, for sure. And what year is that from?
That one, I believe, that album was 82, late 81, I think they recorded it, 82, and then in 83, 84 was the second one. It was right around there. I'm not too sure, because I'm not sure, you know, I know the first one never came out in the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
only the second one did on A&M Records, which was Y&T's label. What a tour that must have been. Hell Hath No Fury and Mean Streak, Y&T. So that was 83-ish for that one, so I'd say 82, early 82 if I'm right.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember. That's okay. Bad of me because Rock Goddess is my favorite female band, and
that's okay.
I just ruined my day.
Well, you just
fantastic. Know. Everybody search those out. There's actually a third album too called Young and Free, which Paul Sampson produced for them, and it only came out in France back in the mid 80s, and then they disbanded, and they came back for a while and tried to do thrash. If I remember right, they tried to do thrash, and it was just Jody Turner with new people, and I heard it was like the most god awful crap. Megadeth meets Sepultura or something like that, and that's just they were lost, and it's probably best if they'd gone.
Oh, ouch. Well,
now I really ruined my day.
Well, I don't think so. You turned a lot of people onto Rock Goddess.
Yeah, the old stuff. You know. Get the old stuff, fellas, ladies.
Yeah, for sure. And so you were talking about kind of like old shows. What's like off the top of your head, one of the most memorable live shows that you've ever been to?
From any band, I would say one of the ones that really blew my face off was back at the Capitol Center in Maryland, where the Classic Heavy Metal parking lot was filmed. Iron Maiden, Judas Priest, Number of the Beast, Screamer for Vengeance. What a show that was, 1982. I mean, I remember Axe, the band Axe was supposed to open, and they didn't even show up, and I don't think they probably should have, because those two bands, it was like the two headliners back-to-back, really. I mean, Iron Maiden was probably received better than any opening act I've ever seen in the history of the world.
Yeah.
I've seen it. That show for an arena show is a classic. As for a club show, I'd probably say Voivod's first show ever in New York at the Ritz, where they opened for Cro-Mags and Venom.
Right.
It was two nights. The first night was Carnivore and Overkill and Venom, and the second night was Voivod opening, then Cro-Mags, and then Venom. That was our first out-of-state show, me and my guys growing up, we ever got up to, really out of the area. I mean, besides like Maryland and stuff, we drove up. We stayed the weekend. We had no money. And we made it rock, and we had a great time hanging out with Voivod, who I'd been pen pals with, and you know, talked on the phone before they ever came down, and we hung out and had a blast, and we hung out with them and Whiplash and Blessed Death and you know, all that. The only thing bad about that weekend was that Venom was such a letdown both nights. I'll never forget Mantis in a karate suit. Kind of freaked me out. It was a little odd.
It's like, wait, I thought you were a drug dealer.
Yeah, he changed it up, turned into June Ree.
That's awesome. And you know, when I saw you at Maryland Death Fest this year, where I thought that Voivod was the best band.
Absolutely. The only reason I was really there, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're a band, you know, and I know that my listeners know that I play Voivod every week. Ever since Piggy passed away, I played, you know, that's just one of those things. They're one of the most important, but it's kind of like they're beginning to get their what they're due.
Yeah, they've people always kind of been a, you know, like the silent killer. They've always kind of stood in the side, and some people really know what's up. Some people just, you know, that's always been the thing with Voivod, at least me. You know how much I love them, too. They're my favorite underground band ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, oh, I can't stand the vocals, or it's too weird, or the chords are funny, or they just write awkward stuff, or it's, oh, I get it all. These guys are so unique, and then people understand that they're not trying to be like everything on the on on the, you know, the cookie cutter.
Right.
They do their own thing, and they did so many things, and it all worked. And to me, their natural progression just worked. They were so violent early on, and they became like almost weird rock for a while, got it heavier. Now they're kind of like somewhere in between, you know. It's like, you know, being a musician myself, I understand that as you get older. You work things in. When you can play stuff better, you start to want to do a little more.
Right.
You know, but you try to keep your edge, which is something we try to do for sure. And Voivod always had their edge. I mean, I could put Angel Rat right next to Warren Payne and love them both equal.
Oh, yeah, me too. And that's really, that is something that a lot of people have trouble with, which I personally never had. I mean, Outer Limits is one of my favorite records of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Just like this, it's a great rock record. And I put it up there with like the Damned Strawberries because that's a rock record too. And people hate that because it's not a punk record. But
right.
It's just, you know, it's just one of those things. And now Voivod, of course, has Dan Mongrain on guitar.
What a fit in.
I never thought anybody
could do it, and he's done such a great job.
Oh my
what a
God.
Cool guy, too. I mean, I told him I'd wrestle him to the death for see who the number one Voivod fan was, because I told him I was, and he was like, no, I'm number two. He's number one.
I'll
make
you
break
your
hand before the show.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Does a great job. You know, it's awesome. And Snake wearing the C-shirt every day for a year. He's been wearing that C-shirt. I gave it to him 2 years ago. He was wearing it in Maryland.
But you guys are like brothers in some other
alternate
universe.
It's weird. Like, I'm the big guy, he's the little one, you know?
Yeah, but that's, and it's just so great to see Voivod being recognized. I mean, it's, you know, and they really kind of, they didn't know what to do. I had the opportunity to interview Away a couple of years ago, and really super, super in-depth, and you know, he was just saying, they're like, well, what, you know, this is all a Piggy's music. Like, what are we going to do? Just stop.
Right.
Like, it's kind of homage, and now it looks like that they're going to be writing.
Yeah, that new song they played there was fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't wait for it, because to me, as we were talking off the air, that, you know, music is so stale, a lot of it anymore. It's just so, like, lost, you know. And
right.
Bands I love, I just, you know, I'm still clamoring for that stuff being a kid, you know. I get that old feeling, like, I couldn't wait back then for the new Merciful Fate record, you know, when Don't Break the Oath came out. I was so into Melissa. I'm like, oh, my God, a new one.
Yeah.
And, like, somewhere all those bands, it's kind of like it just became, like, throwaway, a lot of stuff throwaway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I kind of lost that. But Voivod, to me, it's always been, like, you know, just an adventure. It's like, oh, here's the new one, here's the record, here's the lyrics, let me sit down, get out of my way, don't talk to me for an hour, or whatever it is.
Right, and I'm gone
in that world. And that's what I cherish about music in general.
Yeah, and when you talk about pressure with labels, I mean, you've dealt with many labels over your career.
Yes.
So have you, I'm guessing that you're saying that from experience in terms of people sort of pushing for a record or...
Yeah, they just, you know, it becomes like your vision becomes their vision too, and there's too many eyes. I gotta say, there's too many eyes in the head instead of too many cooks in the kitchen. There's too many eyes in the head. Everybody's looking different ways, and that's one of the reasons, Beck, speaking of, you know, our old label Relapse, one of the reasons we parted with them. It just became like it wasn't fun anymore. It really wasn't fun, because it was like, it wasn't necessarily deadlines and things like that. It was just more like it wasn't what we wanted to do. They were trying to take us places we didn't want to go at all. And they were like, oh, this will better you, this will do this, and in the long run you'll thank us and all this. And we were like, no, it just wasn't us. And we were like, you know, we didn't start this band for anybody but us.
Right.
So it's got to stop there. We know they put money up and things to record, and we have to kind of listen.
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know, one of the reasons we went with, quote-unquote, an underground label was because the underground labels are supposed to shut up and let you do your thing.
Right.
And when it wasn't our thing anymore and it was becoming our thing with their thing, then it wasn't fun anymore. So we had to rip the eyes out of the head.
It's time for that.
Yeah, it's just how it is. But we're so happy to be doing it on our own again, because now it's just our own pace, what we want, how we want it, the artwork, the stickers on it, the thanks list, the, you know, screw you list, whatever we want to put in there. It's all nobody complains about it now.
Right, and you know, that's one of those things. I mean, to give you guys props for doing what you want to do. You know, because I also do see over and over and over again bands who kind of like, well, the label won't let us do that, or, oh, we can't do this without a label. And, you know, you guys just sort of just have
You know me long enough. I don't care what year it is or what's in, what's out. I'm not trying to be Hip Parade or Calendar Boy and Deceased isn't trying to be, you know, MTV Band of the Month or, you know, hang out with whoever. You know, we're not trying to be Metallica's left-hand man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
We're just doing our own thing. We could care less. I mean, we love everybody that supported us, and we love friendship and meeting people and seeing people on the road and things like that. We're all about that, and we're totally anti-egos and rock stars and all that. I know I am, and I'm the loudest mouth in the room, so
yep.
I get all the slack for, you know, saying something about something, but when I speak of something, it's because I've seen something and had to deal with something, and that's just how it is. It's not, you know, crap talking. It's straight-up honesty and just being smart enough and man enough to say, hey, you know, that's not right, or that, you know, this is what we're doing.
Well, that is it, and you are like the honest,
too honest sometimes,
the honest metalhead in the room.
Yeah. you know.
So, so speaking of honest metal, the next track that you have on your playlist is by Riot.
Oh, it honestly kicks you know what.
Yeah.
Sandy Slavin on drums, one of my favorite vocalists ever, Rhett Forster.
Oh,
Restless
yeah.
Breed album, what a fantastic record. Oh, I love that record so much. Quick story on that. DC 101 down in the Virginia, D.C. area used to have a show called Midnight Metal. They used to play all these cool albums, and I was a kid. They were all these bands were new to me, whether it be Y&T, Black Tiger, or Sound Barrier, Total Control, or Heaven, self-titled. All these weird records, including stuff like Tank, Baron Rojo, Anvil, Twisted Sister, Motley Crue, before
wow.
anybody. This is back to the Too Fast for Love original leather mix. That's how old this show was.
Wow.
Well, one night they said, here's Riot. And I'd heard of Riot, and I'd seen ads in Circus Magazine and Cream Magazine, you know, and I was trying to get everything, but I had like $8 a week, you know, to eat and buy metal with, or rock it was then.
Yeah.
They played this album, Restless Breed, and I heard it, and it just blew me away. And I taped these records, and I tried to save up to buy these records, and I never turned back. And that album is just so classic to me. October 31 plays Hard Loved Man from that album live, but Loan Shark is the track. Sandy Slavin kicks in with that those drums, and one of my favorites. Absolutely a must-own, and rest in peace, Rhett Forster.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So so that's what we're going to get to next. My guest is King Fowley of Deceased. Deceased is playing on Friday at St. Vitus Bar in Brooklyn and Saturday at the Irish Hall at the Irish American Club. That's what it's called. It's what, yeah, you just...
Four-leaf clover metal.
Right, yeah, exactly. Some lucky metal for you.
There you go. Come on out, mate.
in Kearney on Saturday. So... we're going to listen to some Riot, and we'll be back. King will be back in a little bit, and please stay tuned. So some Plasmatics there, King. What is the meaning of that?
The Plasmatic song?
Yeah.
What do you think? I don't know. I don't think we can go there.
But Wendy O. Williams,
the fantastic Wendy O. Williams, another rest in peace.
Mm,
seems like all this stuff is we had Riot with Rhett Forster, then we had the Ramones, which are pretty much all gone, the
just
whole front
about,
line.
Yeah.
Which they're fantastic. I dedicate that one to Chris Crump, the bass player on Deceased right now, helping out for us.
Mm.
And the Plasmatics dedicate to my son because he loves them so much. That was great. That's their best album, Coup d'etat. That's the one. The Capitol Records, they went out with Kiss on that tour and Motley Crue, and they did it, and then they got dropped. The next thing you know, they surfaced a couple years later on that GNR label or whatever it was, GWR, I think it was, and she did that Maggots, the record, when they were just kind of trying to get the Plasmatics going.
Oh, right, yeah.
But, I mean, that coup d'etat, the production, Dieter Dirks, Scorpion's master, you know, such great sound on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fantastic track, fantastic record, fantastic band, one of my first over-the-top bands when I was, like, 11, 1979. Got the Butcher Baby 12-inch EP and
nice.
Blew me away, and I was just loved that band.
Yeah, they shot that around here. I've got some friends that are in the video.
Oh,
yeah?
Good old, yeah, the Butcher Baby. And then they blew up the pier. Was that 1980? They blew that up, 80, 81, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's good stuff.
And you said that Wendy O, her vocals sort of inspired you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Her screams. Her and Stacey Sheepdog from Razor were my two influences for just, you know, going nuts. Like the Blueprints for Madness stuff or 13 Frightened Souls, that scratchy, just nuts scream, mm-hmm. always important to me. The best. She's the best. You can, that's the song to hear her screams, and I think that's all she does the whole song.
Yeah, and it really is, like you said, like the nuts. It's the complete insane scream. There's no...
Yeah, and it's just so powerful. I mean, you could just feel how powerful that is when it's on there. And it's so funny because it's on Capitol Records, you know?
Yeah.
Little Capitol Records, and there it is. And no wonder they were dropped in, you know, instantly. Great band.
And then you chose I Just Want to Have Something to Do by the Ramones.
Oh, I love them. The Ramones are one of my top five bands ever. Look at the songs. You know, they took what little talent they had and made some of the greatest songs ever that'll last forever. That band. I mean, I remember being a kid in junior high school, and a friend of mine, I was all into Black Sabbath, and I wear my Mob Rules baseball jersey to school, and he'd be like, "You got to get into the Ramones, man." I'm like, "I know a little bit about them." And then one day I was somewhere in some convenience store, and I walked outside and found this little box of tapes, and it had like Motorhead, No Sleep Till Hammersmith, and it had the Ramones, It's Alive in it, and Road to Ruin in it. And I took the tapes. It was just sitting there, and I took them home, and I started playing them, and I was like, "Oh, this Ramones is great." And I started buying all I could, you know, again, you know, the minimal amounts of money. But I just remember records being so cheap, and it seemed like the bands I wanted to hear back then were in the cheapy piles. I remember End of the Century was sitting in there for like $4, $3.
Oh, right.
All those, you know, their classic records, you know, Rocket to Rush and stuff were like $3.99. So I'd get all these records, go home, and get addicted. I'd never turn back on the Ramones. Probably the greatest live album ever, It's Alive.
Mm.
You know, it's a shame they went away. Joey Ramone, what a classic guy that guy was.
Oh, yeah.
All of them. Can't, you know, Marky Ramone's still doing his thing, I think.
He is, yeah.
I don't know what he's doing, but he's doing it.
He is. He, I don't know what he's doing right now, but I know I saw something recently that he was playing, and I saw him last summer at the Tower of London.
Tower of London.
Yeah, like I was, you know, I was in London, and I actually didn't go into the tower. I went there. I was like, it's like $20 to get in, whatever.
Wow.
So I sort of hung out, and then I saw him. I was like, Marky Ramone is in line.
Like, that's funny. I think he's going to be at the Chiller coming up too.
Oh right, yeah. Chiller
New
is
York,
Halloween
New Jersey, whatever
weekend.
That,
yeah,
that
it's
is.
In Parsippany, New Jersey.
That's it.
Parsippany.
Yeah, he's going to be there this time. There's a lot of crazy, kooky stuff there.
Yeah.
I love those. I see you walking around those. You know, we go there.
I know. Yeah, that is one of the places where I see you. It's like I see you at metal shows, and I see you at.
Yeah, I'm always at the horror thing. It's the thing about the horror things now, it's turned into like fun TV for me. Like the one coming up, I'll be at that one. Obviously, they got the cast of What's Happening is going to be there.
Oh my God, do they really?
Yeah, they got DD. They got Raj, of course, reruns passed away. They got Dwayne's going to be there, and they got pretty much the whole cast of Last American Virgin movie there, too. So.
Oh, hilarious.
I'm just blown away. I go there, and, just, you know, it's funny. Like, there's Tony Curtis. Look, there's Anne Margaret.
Right, yeah.
It's
Tony
so bizarre.
Curtis,
you're like,
yeah.
And right next to him, you're like, look, it's, you know, it's Tom Savini.
Right, yeah, exactly.
It's weird. It's fun.
This time, Martin Landau is going to be there.
Absolutely.
And Joe Frazier is going to be there.
Yeah, Smokin' Joe's will come out. He's from Philly. That's where I'm at now. Maybe I could fight him.
I know. That's, you know, you could. You'd probably get some kind of kickback for that. And then Elvira is going to be there.
Elvira.
Oh, you're right. Marky Ramone is going to be there. I think he's only going to be there on Sunday.
Okay. I definitely saw him on there. But you see the What's Happening crews on there and all that. It's fun.
Oh, my God. Hilarious. I'm just looking at this now for the first time. Carolyn Monroe. Oh, my God. The guys from My Three Sons are back.
There you go.
Stanley, Barry Livingston, and Richard Kiel is going to be there. God, I love him.
Oh, yeah, he's a creepy.
Wow.
Back to the Moonraker.
Wow. Oh, yeah. And then we've got the Willy Wonka people. Oh,
it's fun. I mean, but it's weird. Like, now it's not really horror anymore. There's some. I mean, I know they have, like, the Italian zombie splatter guys are going to be there this time.
Right.
Like that, but it's weird how it's changed, which I don't mind. It's just fun. I, you know, I love all kinds of entertainment and stuff. And when I got to go there and meet, like, Larry from Three's Company, my favorite show of all time, and Joyce DeWitt showed up out of the blue, and I went nuts. So got pictures with her. I was just going nuts, you know, and Priscilla Barnes and hanging out drunk. It's a good time.
What not? That's so funny. Yeah, so Oh, good. Well, a little. So Marky Ramone.
Yeah,
will
you there too. Then,
yeah. Yes. Exactly. And yeah. And we'll see Marky Ramone there as well.
There he is.
Hey. So just like off the cuff, most important record to you in heavy metal history.
For me personally, or just for the genre?
I don't know. Either or, if you really think there's a big difference.
I don't know. I mean, there was so many records. I mean, you got to go back to Black Sabbath, who pretty much, for me, no matter, you know, it's cliche, but they started it all. I mean, for me, being that it's a little later in the game, another quick story. When I was a kid, I was, like, very much into Kiss. Love Kiss. I'd see him because I'd see Gene Simmons' splattered face all over blood in stores on 16 Magazine or Circus or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I got into it, and of course the visuals caught me because I'm a kid, and then I got the records and I loved it because the songs were catchy, and I was, they became my idols and, you know, my heroes and all that, and still are for that Mach 1 era. a friend of mine said, you got to get in some of these other bands. So, of course, we started getting into Van Halen and stuff at that time, Ted Nugent, Aerosmith, all that quote-unquote radio metal of the time. You know, you had everything from Heartbreaker, Pat Benatar, which had a heavy guitar line, or Barracuda Heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was radio metal, what I called it. But when it really got heavy for me is when I started hearing stuff like Heaven and Hell on the radio and stuff. And I was so young, I didn't realize. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the guy that was in Black Sabbath that sang Paranoid. That's somebody different. I'm looking on the back, I'm like, where's Ozzy? And it's like, Ronnie James Dio, who's that? And I thought it was, and I used to think it was like a French guy because it sounded like, you know, three-letter name.
Right.
So for me, probably the album that really did it for me was Mob Rules, Black Sabbath Mob Rules. And that's because I was 13. It was 1981. We were supposed to get tickets to go see AC/DC. They were sold out, or at least the good seats were. A friend of mine got us Black Sabbath tickets, and we went and saw Black Sabbath with Alvin Lee open and Mick Taylor from the Stones.
Mm.
And Black Sabbath just blew my face off. And when that cross came out and like that big heated lamp and then fire and stuff, I was like, right then, I always tell my anybody that'll listen, that's when I sold my soul to, you know, heavy metal. Been in there. So for me, I would say Black Sabbath Mob Rules. For the genre, it goes back to the earlier Sabbath, or like your Priest, things mm-hmm. like that, or your Deep Purples and all that, you know, different things. It's not Kill 'Em All, I can tell you that.
Yeah. No, that's kind of a great record, but not the not being responsible for certain things. Well, how do you feel when people sort of tell you that you're responsible for getting them into metal, and you know, you're a stalwart in the community?
It's weird. It's weird. I mean, I know, like, I'm still just, you know, like I was telling you, I'm just goofy over stuff. Like, the new Voivod, when it comes out, I'll be sitting there like a goofy kid, like, you know, shaking because I'm so happy and excited. It's odd. People say, oh, man, Fearless and Dead Machines got me through this. And there was a guy back when MySpace was popular, and we were talking, and he was telling me how he was in jail and all this stuff, and how Blueprints pulled him through his bad times and turned his life around and all this. And you know, it's kind of an odd, cliche kind of story for sometimes. But when I read this guy's stuff, it really got to me. You know, it just was like, wow, you know, I'm turning somebody for the better. And it's, and of course, it's deep down, it's intentional, but it's really not intentional. I'm just kind of doing my thing. And then, like, it's another thing that's weird about it is when they just start catching on to what you think about things. Like, some people sometimes used to say, oh, King, he's just a loudmouth about stuff. But then a couple years later, you know, like, that guy was right about mm-hmm. this. And now I see what he was talking about, which is cool, because then they take the time to respect what you're trying to say. Sometimes I just throw it out there, and instead of, like, you know, building up to something, I'll just go nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people kind of get my ideals of life. They don't got to agree all the time, and that's it. I always say, I have a saying, to each their own, you know. You know, like you were just saying, Kill 'Em All is important. Never been a Metallica fan, but to each their own. You love what you love. I love what I love, and things like that. And when people say stuff like, oh, Fearless is so important, or I love Supernatural Addiction, or I got your demo, Nuclear Exorcist, at a party, and then you wrote me back, and you're the only band that still writes me, and, you know, there's a guy that writes me, a guy named Nat, sends me, you know, pen pal letters through the mail still. He likes to do the mail thing. He's not big on the email and stuff. And he'll mm-hmm. say, oh, here, you know, and sends me letters and stuff, and we talk. And he's like, yeah, you're one of the few guys we can even talk to on Facebook and stuff. And I'm not saying I'm anybody important, because to me, I'm just another, you know, rocker having fun. But at the end of the day, it's like, if you do what you do and people respect you for it, then it's cool. So I'm really touched and, you know, happy that people enjoy what we did. And when they got them to something music-wise, then, you know, thumbs up to them.
Yeah,
as the fans would say, hey.
Hey. Well, and you never know. You never know what's going to make a difference for somebody. And
no,
you're just
great.
Doing your thing, but it's not with the intention to, you know.
Yeah, doing our thing, and then to do it, it's just neat. You meet people, and you're like, wow. And you kind of, you know, I'm kind of guy, I get attached to a lot of friends and stuff, and I like to, like, keep up on everybody. People are like, oh, you remember me and this and that, and I do. Like, I have guys on to catch me up on Facebook now. They're like, perfect example, this guy named Jason Flowers. Like, you're not going to remember me. And I was like, oh, Jason Flowers, Death Rip Magazine, 20 years ago we used to write. I'm like, yeah, of course, Death Rip Magazine, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you remember me? Holy moly. You know, so it's things like that. And I got to, because that's important in my life. You know, that's things that matter to me and always will matter to me.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and it's just, yeah. And you strike a chord with somebody, and I think it just has to do with your honesty and your willingness to kind of get out there.
Gotta keep rolling. 43. Don't let the bald spot fool you.
Yeah.
Still rolling. Feeling good. Got at least 25 more years. Let's go. Let's roll. Everybody listening. Roll, roll, roll.
Oh, my goodness. That's awesome. So my guest is King Fowley from Deceased. And the next track we're going to hear is?
What is the next track we're going to hear?
Clone.
Oh. We're going to hear Clone from the new Deceased. Day of the Robot. It is the track that is the follow-up to the long 18-year-ago Robotic Village from 13 Frightened Souls EP.
Oh.
And it's been probably the most well-received song on the record. One thing I want to say real quick is we've been playing live. We've only been playing Kindred Assembly live right now because of the differential and everybody where everybody is travel-wise. We haven't been able to practice a lot, so we've kind of got a set right mm-hmm. now. But we're working cloned into the set. People keep asking for it. We were in Chicago. We're like, you know, you're a son of a gun for not playing this and that. And then we want to, and we all want to. It's just getting together and doing it.
Well, yeah. And
we're getting older, but yeah, that's the song that's been most well received. I really like the song a lot. It deals with weirdos and factories and people trying to change the world. And I don't know who made us, but whoever did is probably really pissed off about these people trying to twist us around into something new and adventurous in an odd way. So it's an odd song, this one. It's odd. It's Clone Day of the Robot.
All right. So we're going to listen to that. We are WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope. Stay tuned. And we're back. That was some No Doubt King.
It sure was, wasn't it?
Explain
everybody
yourself.
For a loop right there. Anybody that knows me knows how much I love No Doubt. One of my favorite bands, Energy, Energy, Energy. Me at the shows with all the 15-year-old girls bouncing around like a fool. Seen them like 25 times.
Have you really?
Yes, I have. And they're one of the best live bands in the world.
Wow.
I wish more bands had the energy they do and the songs. And they're all over the place. One minute they're rocking, then they're reggaeing, then they're jumping around like fools.
Well,
I love them.
Yeah, and you have that that kind of energy.
Yeah, I'm going to get me a shirt, a King shirt, like the old Gwen shirt. I'll get the little Indian thing on between my eyes for the next tour. And happy birthday to Gwen. It was her birthday a couple days ago. 42.
Oh, yeah, who knew?
Yeah, big fan. Love my pop and all that stuff. I grew up on Pat Benatar, Blondie, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Love Missing Persons, all that stuff. And that was a band that really, to me, kind of kept the Blondie thing alive for a long time. And, you know, some people are like, oh, No Doubt, you play this. It's funny because you'll play Clone, and then you hear that, and they're like, oh, you're playing all these weird songs. That's like when I did the radio show with Ian Christie.
Okay.
And we were talking, and he was like, yeah, you're playing all this. And we were like, oh, listen to all this melodic stuff. I'm like, my favorite stuff is British hard rock, like Michael Schenker group and, you know, stuff like that style, even though I know he's not British, but that kind of style of just like, I'm a big fan of like the Tony Martin era Sabbath, too. Like, I love melody, things like that.
Right.
My favorite album of all time is Uriah Heep, Abominog. So I'll show you. That's like almost like Foreigner meets early Ozzy meets Styx.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So it's just what it is. But of course, I love my speed metal and my thrash and death, too. Love my Left Hand Path. Love my early Unleashed. Love my Whiplash, Power and Pain.
Yeah.
Which I know it sounds like we might be getting to some of that soon.
I think so. And, yeah, so, and somebody just asked, is this the first time that No Doubt has been played on my show? And yes, it's very, very.
It might be the last. People are like, don't play No Doubt, King, you're an ass.
You know, but and then, because I was like, well, when I got your playlist, and just so the listeners know, when I do these specials, it's like the playlist is forwarded to me, so I just kind of make sure that I have all the music, because I'm doing the controlling here, and we're on the phone. And I'm like, wow, I don't really even listen to No Doubt. And I'm like, well, this is up-tempo, and it's pretty, like, driving. I mean,
it's faster than a lot of stuff out these days.
Right, yeah, exactly.
I'm like, definitely driving.
Yeah, you know, and so for the energy, I was... You know, kind of like, all right, well, that's...
Yeah, you went with it. Well, thank you.
No.
I don't
want to edit you at all.
Oh, there you go.
You know, and that's the whole thing. I mean, it's about what really makes you appreciate music, and your playlist is really varied, and, you know, and your... Well, and like, Deceased kind of, you know, has been sort of varied in its history, in its sound, let's say.
Right, yeah, where it's like almost like we're too subdued for the guys, and then we're too for the subdued guys. So it's like we're kind of in the middle somewhere, and we're lost. But I like hanging in the middle of the ladder. I don't want to be at the top of the ladder. I don't want to be at the bottom of the ladder. Just somewhere in the middle. Just sit there and relax, and you can see everything from the middle. You can see the bottom, and you can see the top. You just kind of stay there and enjoy yourself.
And you can do your thing.
And you can do your thing.
And nobody gets really upset if you're not... You know,
yeah, I remember when we did Supernatural Addiction, and I had a couple people who said, oh, man, you guys are getting into In Flames and all this stuff. I'm like, In Flames? Like, what are you talking about? It's like, the stuff here is like, it's a melody. We're in the Iron Maiden. That's what In Flames got their stuff. Like, come on, give me a break.
Right.
I mean, you go back to our first demo, 86, got a song called March of the Cadavers. I mean, come on, it couldn't be any more straight traditional heavy metal on there.
Right.
Then you had our thrash stuff. We had a song called Sick Thrash. Then we had our Eaten by Disease. You know, we like all different stuff. I like everything from the Carpenters to Deathstrike.
Right.
You know, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big radio fan growing up, all that stuff growing up. I mean, I sit in the car when I got my Sirius, came with my car, and I'm always in there. I'm like, oh, look at this. They're playing cool stuff. They're playing bands like 707 or, you know, something off the wall like Firefall or something like that. And I love it. You know,
yeah.
I love that. And then I'll turn, oh, look, here he goes. It's special. It's playing all, you know, playing all old Brazilian thrash. Here's Mutilator, Immortal Force, Killer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people like a lot of music. Some people are afraid to admit what they like, and then sometimes you catch them.
Right, exactly.
I had a friend one time said, oh, you got a Bee Gees CD. I'm like, yeah, I love the Bee Gees. He's like, oh, yeah, next thing I know, he's playing the Bee Gees. And I walk in, what are you playing the Bee Gees for? Oh, you caught me, didn't you? Come on, man. You like the Bee Gees, you like the Bee Gees.
Right, exactly.
Don't be afraid. We can all go to the Nights on Broadway.
Yeah.
You like what you like. Don't hide it.
And so Deceased's newest record is Surreal Overdose.
Yes.
And how can people get this record?
Well, we have our website, upthetombstones.net.
Mm-hmm.
We also, you can email me, kingdoomstone, D-O-O-M-S-T-O-N-E, @yahoo.com. Get it from me there. Facebook, King Fowley, any other way you can think of it. It's at the stores. I saw it in FYE, but they're charging $13.99, which is too much for me.
Mm.
Amazon, I'm sure, has it for probably $4.08 right now.
Right, one of
so
those.
So it's, you know, in the places. I know I would tell you guys other things, but all the record stores are gone, sadly, and taken over by horrible, horrible stores nowadays.
That's
but
true.
It's out there. If anybody needs it, kingdoomstone@yahoo.com, probably the easiest way to find out, and that's my email. Anybody's welcome to email anytime.
And on the back of the record, there's a regular barcode, and then there's like a smartphone.
Oh yeah, the smartphone. That was something Paddock Dan wanted to put on there.
I don't know what that is or anything.
I was trying to get from I thought it was one of those things where you like try to get from the maze from the left side, you go through and like without hitting the line and hit the other side.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got to it, like you know when you go to eat at like Friendly's, they have the little kids menu thing.
Right.
You like try to get the little maze through it. That's what I thought it was.
Oh.
Next one, we'll put like, that on there. We'll put a maze on the next one.
Look, there's a game on it.
Yeah,
on it.
There's a game.
Okay, so there is some smartphone.
Yeah, there's something, whatever that
code
means.
Code on there, but we don't know what it is.
I have a dumb phone because I'm the one answering it.
Ah! Awesome. And then the two songs that we did hear during this program, Clone, Day of the Robot, and
Kindred Assembly
are both off of that record.
Yes, absolutely. And there's actually, like I said, there's a single for Cloned Out, which you just heard on Dark Descent Records with some B-sides that aren't on the record at all, and it's limited, and he's out of Colorado. You can find it, I'm sure, somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the listeners wanted to know what your opinion was on the Scion Fest, and you and I talked off mic about that
right.
a little bit. Because
free metal shows.
Yeah, free metal shows.
That's all they should all be. I'd go for it. We come out and sell our merch, make some money, and do it. If everybody else would do it, I'm all for it. But it seems like every time we try to do things like that and $5 shows, which I'm all for too, the other end doesn't want to do it. The clubs aren't into it. Oh, we're not opening your doors for this. These people are, you know, these people you bring are lunkheads, and there's always going to be this and that, and I've got all this stuff and insurance, so it never happens. If these people can pull it off and there's bands that everybody wants to see, more power to them. Music's about hearing first and foremost. If you don't want to, you know, if you don't want anybody to hear your stuff for free or whatever, then stay in the basement and lock the door. You know, I'm all for playing and having fun. If fun's about, it's what life's about. And music, you know, a lot of our music might be dark, and we might have left-handed forks in the road where, you know, all my stories always come out bad because that's kind of like in the back of my happy mind. There's always like I see the ugly side of life too.
Mm.
But it's about fun, and we need more of that. I mean, I know everybody that's listening has probably been to shows where it's like $42 to see Saxon. What the hell is going on? Or,
right.
You know, like some of these shows, I saw somebody was complaining online about something. I was like, you know, like that big four. It's like, what, here's $3,000.
Right. You know, and you might see them. Wait, we'll give you a pair of opera glasses.
Yeah, that's stupid. I mean, those bands should be, you know, kicked in the private areas for just even doing that kind of stuff. That's just totally what I'm just not about that. I mean, we get stuck once in a blue moon on something like that, and I feel awful.
Mm.
I really do. I mean, I've always said CDs should be $10, shows should be $10 tops, and that's it. But, you know, I don't know. I go back and look at shows, and my Kiss ticket from 1979, $7 to see Kiss. Now, what is it now, $170 to see Kiss?
Right, right, exactly. Well, or if you want to do the VIP route.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you can pet Gene Simmons or something for $450.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Rage Paul Stanley's chest hair for 3.25. No, thank you. I won't go into the story, but I did for a while have a bag of Mark Storaci from Crocus's chest hair.
Oh.
You can ponder on that.
He's got plenty of chest hair, though. I'm sure he's not missing it at all.
Yes, that was a weird night. Weird.
Crocus.
Yeah.
Mm. Are there any newer bands that you like?
I love anybody doing things that they do for themselves and enjoying themselves and, you know, and just getting out there and enjoying themselves. I mean, it comes down to that. Super Christ, we just played with them last week, and they were cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Lurking Corpses guys were really cool. You got some bands like Twisted Tower Dire who have been beating the amps up for a while, are good friends of mine and stuff, and Jim plays with October 31, and While Heaven Wept as well is doing really good.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you know, friends of mine and things like that. Outside of that, people I don't know and bands that are cool, you know. I have to hear it. I'm not really hearing much metal that's really, you know, kicking my butt anymore. I mean, a lot of stuff I get is just, it's kind of like, I don't want to say lost, but that's the word I'm getting out of it. It just doesn't do anything for me, and it's not because I'm better than anybody else or heard it all or anything like that. It just doesn't do it for me.
Right.
Zool's a good newer band that I like. Those guys out of Chicago. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I can't. It's not coming to me right now. What else? You know, a lot of bands have been beating it up for a long time and just and still doing it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I if I hear it and I like it, I'll tell you. I don't know what to say to that.
Because
a lot of these newer bands, I just don't hear them. I hear them for one night. They may open for us. They're cool. They give us a CD. They say, hey, it's nice playing with you guys. Thanks for the support and stuff like that. And I might take the CD home and say, yeah, these guys are cool. And that's the end of it. You know, if you make friendships and keep it going, we keep it going.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, and you've always been really active in the underground, and that's one of the things that you have to remain active in.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, I love here. Trust me, people say, oh, you hate everything. You hate everything, King Fowl. You hate everything. No, I don't. I can make you a list 100 yards long of bands I love, but, you know, I wish I loved everything. Stuff comes and I don't like it. I'm like, damn, this, you know, unfortunately, this doesn't do anything for me.
Right.
You know, I don't know. One of the things with me is hooks. I need hooks. I need a song there. People are afraid to write choruses. People are afraid to write catchy, memorable stuff. Either that or that's just not what anybody does anymore. I hear these songs on the radio. I'm like, God, this is terrible.
Right.
Like, if I hear something on the radio, like, say, for example, a Hootie and the Blowfish, I'm like, this is terrible, terrible. I mean, this has, like, got nothing going for it. Or Dave Matthews, that guy's a bazillionaire. And that's what he's doing?
Yeah.
I'm ready to die. You know, it's, and it, music, metal included, you know, I hear stuff like, oh, my God. Like, I just heard the new Anthrax. I'm like, oh, my God almighty.
Yeah, yeah.
They lost me after Fistful of Metal. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love for them all to do 15 Fistfuls of Metal, but they didn't. They decided, you know.
Yeah, no, I had Carl Kennedy on a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, good old The Rods.
We talked a
lot about
that.
Love them, the old Rods.
Yeah, well,
Earned by Love, that's my track.
And he produced Fistful of Metal.
Oh, did, yes, so right, he sure did.
Yeah,
he produced
a
lot of stuff back then.
We were playing stuff off of that not that long ago.
Yeah,
and that's
I hear people like, oh, God, Neil Sermon was terrible. I'm like,
oh my God, he was great.
I love him. He was like Paul Stanley with, like, higher range.
Yeah, and for sure.
Right.
So my guest is King Fowley of Deceased, and Deceased has a couple shows coming up on Friday at the St. Vitus Bar in Brooklyn, this coming Friday the 7th, and then the 8th in Kearney at the Irish American Club on at 95 Kearney Avenue. And so make sure you check out Deceased then. And the newest record is called Surreal Overdose.
Yes, it is. You go out and OD on it.
Yeah.
Don't OD on drugs. Don't OD on anything else. On metal.
And if you need to figure out how to get that record, you can send King an email at kingdoomstone@yahoo.com.
Correct.
And you're playing, I guess October 31st is playing Defenders of the Old?
Yes, Defenders of the Old. On November 6th, it's at the Sonar Bar, which where they have the Maryland Death Fest.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the middle stage in there. We did it last year, as I was telling you off the air. Last year we had Blood Feast and Ares Kingdom played, and Tyrant, the old Legions of the Dead crew. This year we've got Tension, which had an album called Breaking Point out in the 80s. They used to be known as Deuce. Marty Freeman used to play them, and his Punky Meadows' brother, Timmy Meadows, played for them.
Mm.
They're going to be headlining this year. October 31 is going to play before them. We've also got Destructor and Midnight from Ohio playing. Got the band Zool I mentioned.
Oh, Midnight, right.
Yeah.
Love them.
Got Zool playing from Chicago, who does a new wave of British heavy metal style with some great songs and a really good singer.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Acid Queen opening up the show, which is a local band that does all new wave of British heavy metal songs from See You in Hell to Don't Need Your Money to Tank to Venom with a girl singer. And it's going to be fun. It's cheap. It's, I think, $15 for six bands. It's going to be all day Saturday, November 6th, and it's at the Sonar in Baltimore. It's all ages, and everybody's welcome to come on out.
Very cool. That sounds like a lot.
I want to dedicate that to He Wang because he's a fantastic guy, and it's his show, and I'm helping him out.
Oh, great.
He Wang. You're on Facebook. You look up He Wang, everybody. He's a great, he's an Asian metalhead.
Mm-hmm. Very neat.
Okay.
And, so the next thing that you have queued up in your playlist is by Whiplash, by Jersey Band.
Yes, the best thrash album ever made in the history of thrash for me, Power and Pain.
Oh, that's really what you, wow.
That is my favorite thrash album ever. Unfortunately, never topped it or came close, but that first record is perfection. It's got the great sound, it's in the pocket, the vocals are perfect, the leads are there, the energy, the songs, the cool cover, the great lyrics, it's all there.
Mm, very cool. So that's what we're going to go to next, and King is guest DJing, and we'll hear some Whiplash. Right next. Stay tuned.
Let's go.
and some Voivod.
The greatest.
Yes, absolutely.
Morgoth metal.
Yeah, my listeners know that that they will hear Voivod here every week, and you brought it.
Always. Anybody knows me knows Voivod's with me.
Yeah.
They're in my left pocket or my right pocket, but they're in one of them.
So is Killing Technology your favorite Voivod record?
It is. Today it is. Like we were talking, today it is. That, Warm Pain, Nothing Face, Angel Rat, all of them. The self-titled, love them all. Flying Cigars, what a track that is. I love it all. I got to say, Voivod just... I really just like to sit down and listen to them all in a row. Take a whole day and just get lost in nuclear metal.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it's about. There's nothing bad for them, for me.
Awesome. Yeah. Oh, it's just such a... Yeah. When we have that the Voivod camaraderie, there's nothing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I remember when that came out and people were like, oh, you don't like the new Voivod. Do you fake singing now? I was like, come on. That's an incredible record. And I was like, go hide in the bush. You know, like I remember when Warm Pain, of course, Warm Pain came out with Voivod for me. When Warm Pain came out, I'd already been into them from the Condemned to the Gallows from Metal Massacre 5, but
right.
I also actually had rehearsals and demos from them, you know, back to the Morgoth Invasion tape. Mm-hmm. And I actually wrote the guys, and they got back to me, and I gave them my phone number. I used to call them, and me and Away used to talk all the time. He'd be watching The Price is Right, which used to come on up there when it came on here. So we'd be talking about Holly, the one girl, the model on there. Oh, Holly, you know, she's the best. You know, look at this. What do you think of this? You know, I think you overbid Away. I think you over.
Oh my
and we
God,
talk about
so
Bob
funny.
Barker and stuff, but when it came down and played in New York, it was the first time meeting, and all along they thought that Decease was Decease with no D, just Decease.
Oh, wow.
And they saw my jacket. He said, oh, there's a D at the end. He goes, you're going to be mad at me when you see the Roar Thanks list. And I saw it. It said King of Decease, no D at the end.
Funny.
I was like, oh, that's great. It's classic. It's totally Voivod. And I remember Snake said, oh, I love Decease. It's such a runchy band. Instead of raunchy, called it runchy.
Runchy.
So I would say, what's up, Mr. Runchy? Those guys are the greatest. Still the coolest guys. I've seen them 43 times now since Maryland Death Fest. It's 43 for me.
Mm.
I got to go another 57 at least.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm hoping I'd love to go out and open for them and do a tour next year. Talk to Away about that.
Yeah.
We've never played with them. As I was saying, we were hoping to do a show in Buffalo later this year, but they postponed it. We've never played with them. The two times we were supposed to play with them, one time they canceled. The other time it was when they had the bus accident, so they canceled that tour too.
Oh, right, yeah.
So never played with them.
Wow. Wow. Well, you will. You should.
We should.
I mean, you
absolutely.
Definitely
we
should.
Will at some point.
Yeah, that's kind of a pairing that needs to be done.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. And then before Forgotten in Space, we heard from Whiplash off of the Power and Pain record.
Absolutely. Jersey. Was that Message in Blood?
Yes.
Fantastic thrash. I love it.
Yeah.
Jersey all the way. Helter Skelter.
Is there anything that you want the listeners to know or that you want to say to people? Because we're down to our last song.
Is there anybody listening that took the time to listen? Thanks for listening. We're doing what we do, and up the tombstones, and to each their own. We're going to smash some metal to the walls. I just wish everybody well. That's what I want to say.
That's
Everything
awesome.
Else falls into place itself.
The website, I do have a link up there on the page, and it's upthetombstones.net. And if you want to try to, if you want to get the new Decease record straight from the horse's mouth, email kingdoomstone@yahoo.com. And King, I want to really thank you for appearing on this program.
Oh, thank you.
And just for who you are for metal and for music, like your devotion to music in general. And for, you know, keeping it real is such a funny term. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, keeping it real. But, you know, it's like your honest dedication is just it comes through all the time. And, you know, and it's a lot of work to put together to appear on this program. So even just for that, I want to thank you. And then just, you know, for bringing the music and turning people onto things, and just for the joy of what you bring to the to this show and to all your other shows, you know, to your live stuff. And I can't wait to see you front the band.
It'll be nuts. I thank you for all the kind words. Like I said before, we're all in this together.
Yes,
nobody's above the other. We're all sitting at stair number 5.
Yes.
Nobody's at 10. Nobody's at 1. We're all at 5.
Right.
Everybody enjoy yourself. Stay out of the deep end.
I think that's a cool thing. Yeah. And so what's the last song that you're presenting today?
My favorite heavy metal song of all time.
Okay.
Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
Children of the Damned.
All right. So that's what we're going to go
with. Everybody
take
care of yourself. Thank
right.
you.
Thank you, King.
Thank you, Diane.
All right. Stay tuned, folks. And that wraps it up for today's podcast. Thank you to Lita Martinez for editing the podcast and to Liz Berg for all the other background work. We are WFMU.